Greg Funk, John Burton Show, presented by Omni Nashville Hotel Cock and Caldwell, coldest team in town. Patton Cook running things here in the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studios, CBS Sports Line, Alan Bell. You can follow him on Twitter at AlanBell247 on the F&M Bank phone line. Good morning, Alan. What's up, man?
AB, what's good?
Gentlemen, how we doing?
How was your Thanksgiving, brother?
Man, it was great. I can't complain at all. How about y'all?
Hey, can I start with this real quick, Greg?
No.
Okay.
What would I go for?
AB, what are we going to do about the Lions on Thanksgiving Day?
Oh, my God. That's what you want to go to.
I do, because I know it's a tradition. Detroiters love it, but it's such bad football. Somebody actually in Detroit, Rico Beard from 97.1 The Ticket, had a pretty cool suggestion. The NFL should say to the Lions, if you don't have at least 4 wins by Thanksgiving, you're out. We're putting another game in. You'll have a chance to get it back next year. What are we going to do about the Lions on Thanksgiving?
You're relegating them. Is that what you're doing?
Yeah. They should be relegated from the. You can't relegate them from the league, although the Ford family deserves that, in my opinion. Wow. But, you know, where are you at with the Lions on Thanksgiving?
All right. So, my opinion is this. If you haven't figured it out in 67 years, then we got to do something with you. I agree completely. Now, I feel bad for Lions fans. I think we all do.
Sure.
But come on. I mean, this is prime time slotting. Like, if I'm the NFL, I'm the first one to say, buddy, hey, we got to do something here. Got to do something. These slots are way too financially important. I agree 100%.
And just real quick, I know, you know, people say, well, you could say that about the Dallas Cowboys. Much as I sports hate the Dallas Cowboys, if they're good, it's a story. If they're bad, it's a story. They get a rating no matter what. So having them makes sense. But the Lions, yeah. Sorry, Greg.
Fact of the matter is they're going to make the same amount of money who they put in there, if it's the Lions or not. I hate to say it.
You're probably right.
But you know, people are going to pay the same for the slot of what it is, because they're buying the NFL as much as the Lions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what can you do with $100 million to coach LSU the next 10 years? This is Lincoln Riley, what his deal was, he's getting his 2 homes paid for in Norman, $500,000 over face value. He's getting $6 million house voucher for L.A., $100 million there. And so don't tell me anything about kids making money through the NIL. I don't want to hear that noise.
I was just telling Greg, you know, it's like that old Dire Straits song, Money for Nothing. I should have learned to play the guitar, man. I got in the wrong business.
Dude, no kidding, man. I need to know what this agent is doing. I mean, that was terrific work on Lincoln Riley's part. All right, I mean, to get the houses in there, the plane. And on side note, listen to this. The school offering the plane, you know, the private plane, 24/7 usage, whenever you want it, that's a brilliant move, because it's like companies offering, you know, unlimited PTO. There's only so much that you can use, right? It's like you're not going to use a plane every day. It's probably fun for the first month. And then it's like, all right, where am I going to go? You know what I mean? So brilliant part on their end to offer that as an incentive. But let me say this. I do think that it's smart for these coaches to lock in these $100 million guaranteed contracts before the NCAA is obliterated, before conferences are obliterated, before payments and everything, you know, start to get louder, et cetera, things like that. Like, I don't blame them for saying, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and take this money, have a great job, and let you guys play musical chairs later when things could get crazy. Smart move on their part, but who would have thought that Oklahoma and Notre Dame are being left? I mean, those are two pretty blue blood schools.
Yeah, and what Brian Kelly's there, but I guess he gets to the point where I don't think that I can win a national championship there. But however, I mean, you got to get in the Final Four, and then that thing's going to expand to what, 8, 12? You know, and so certainly at Notre Dame, he's going to be in there every year, whoever that is, if he just maintained it. So I don't know that it is when you're adding these two others, you already got what you got to deal with the West and LSU. Yeah, the last 3 coaches at LSU all won national champions. That should tell you something right there. But
let me say one thing real quick. With Notre Dame, in regards to it, from what I understand, is that the issue the transfer portal, because you cannot bring transfers into Notre Dame. And that is going to be probably larger than actually recruiting, which is already difficult at Notre Dame. So they might want to figure that part out. He's going to have an immensely easier time recruiting to LSU than he is at Notre Dame.
And really, and we talked about this at the top of the show, Alan, you know, much as I sports hate Notre Dame with a passion, I mean, Brian Kelly's done an unbelievable job at Notre Dame, given the, you know, academic, you know, restrictions there for the student athletes. And maybe I'm sure he feels like, you know what, I've done all about all I can do. You know, he's had them highly ranked year after year, got them to the college football playoffs. You know, maybe he just feels like, you know, I've got all the juice out of this, you know, out of this that I can. It's time to move on. And, you know, what an opportunity to go to LSU and compete in the SEC.
Agreed. And I saw somebody on Twitter yesterday say, you know, I didn't know Notre Dame was a stepping stone job. He was there for 12 years.
Right.
Okay, so let's not act like, you know, he's just a one and done. He's their winningest coach of all time. Mm. He has more wins than anyone there. So I agree. Like, I think that, you know what, I didn't mind either of the moves, but I certainly kind of understood Brian Kelly. It's like exactly like you just said. He's probably looking at it saying, you know what, I might have reached the ceiling. And let's leave on a high note. You know, I'll always be remembered here, whether you like me right now or not. I'm your winningest coach of all time. So, yeah, I kind of thought it was a brilliant move by Brian Kelly, to be honest with you.
Alan Bell with us. Titans, you know, I was thinking of an analogy. Like, you have a new car, you know, and after a couple years, it starts to fall apart and everything. And I think now the Titans car is, like, on the side of the road, and somebody needs to come get them. you know, they just, you know, and tow it the rest of the way. You've heard that the bye week couldn't come in a better place. Now, the bye week needed to come 3 weeks ago, quite frankly.
And
it's sort of ridiculous.
That is ridiculous. Well,
New England's got one more game than a bye week. Cleveland, too. I mean, and eventually, though.
No, Cleveland's bye week's this week.
Is it this week? Yeah. Okay, so, but, well, they had still.
Ask you about what's going on in Cleveland, too, but, Alan, yeah,
we're all over the map. But it just, when this 17 games. Even now, look at it, 18 possibly. Do they back it up and start the season on Labor Day weekend and put two bye weeks in? That makes the most sense.
Yeah, it absolutely makes the most sense. But you can't be Christmas shopping on your bye weeks, right? Like,
yeah.
It's got to come before this. This is craziness. But, you know, the Titans obviously have had, you know, a historic amount of players, you know, that have played on that team. And there's other teams that are dealing with a ton of injuries, too. The Baltimore Ravens have been. The San Francisco 49ers, you know, have been. And they hadn't exactly been to this level, but they've lost some stars, too. It's just tough, man. Like, the crazy thing is that I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I'm going to look them up. This might be the most injured NFL season I've ever seen. Like, it feels like every team is dealing with injuries except for, like, three. And it was brutal for the Titans to run into the Patriots at this time. I mean, you've got the most banged-up team in the NFL going on the road against the most healthy team in the NFL, who is just on absolute fire right now. It was that was a nightmare scenario for them.
Alan Bell is our guest. Alan, yeah, man, I talked about this. We talked about this yesterday. I think for the Titans, you know, sure, you'd love that number one seed, right? Who wouldn't want a bye week and home field advantage throughout the playoffs? But for me, the way I look at it, if I'm the Titans, I'm concentrating on A, getting healthy, B, playing better, stop turning the damn ball over, and C, making sure you win your division. You know, they got a two-game lead plus the tiebreaker, so it looks good there. I'm not worried about the number one seed so much as I am worried about getting healthy and playing a little bit better football. What say you?
Yeah, 100%, man. And you said it, you know, being healthy is the number one. And the number two, just take care of business. You know, beat the teams that you're supposed to. You know, give one hell of a shot in the games that you might be an underdog in, right? I think that is certainly the most important thing. I mean, look, this is how banged up this team was. Going into that game against the Patriots, the Titans did not have a skill position player that had more than 275 yards on the season.
Wow.
That's insane. Like, it's insane of what they were going up against. And they ran the ball really well. You're right. Obviously, the turnovers, you know, were a problem, but I mean, it was just like when I say that it was a nightmare scenario, which I don't have to, you know, convince anybody of it. Everyone's smart enough to know it. It was the absolute worst scenario going into it. I don't ever want to say that the Titans didn't have a chance to win that game, but they pretty much didn't have a chance to win that game. There's just nothing they could do.
Alan Bell with us at Alan Bell 24/7 Sports Line is how to follow him. I always like doing this. You buy or sell? Mm-hmm. The Baltimore Ravens, I don't know what to think about them.
I'm selling. I'm selling right now. I don't want anything to do with it. Their offense, man, is not. It's not that good. It's not putting up that many points. Their defense is not that great either. No, yeah, I'm
still. So who win? The Bengals win that division, or you're, or the Browns?
That, yeah. Well, that was my next buy or sell: Cincinnati Bengals.
Oh, I'll tell you what, I'll buy Cincinnati overall by Baltimore. Absolutely.
I want to ask you about Cleveland because there's so much going on with, you know, Baker Mayfield. It seems like every day a different player's mom or dad or wife is coming out saying something, either for him, against him on social media. It feels like Kevin Stefanski's lost control. Their offense stinks. Baker's banged up. Probably shouldn't be playing. It's a mess in Cleveland right now.
Yeah, it is. You know, I'll say, all right, so watching the game last night with the Seahawks, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The Seahawks and the Browns are very similar in terms of their offensive approach. They want to run the ball, and their quarterbacks are excellent when the play action is in use. When the play action is not in use, it turns into a disaster quickly, right? Because defenses are like, okay, well, we don't have to buy the play action because you're down 10. Like, you're not faking us with it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just been, man, it's been just a tough season. You want to talk about a team that's dealt with injuries, Cleveland's right up there. And look, I'm not the biggest Baker Mayfield fan in the world, but I'm also not super negative against him either. I mean, give the guy credit, like, he's literally got a left shoulder that needs surgery right now.
Yep.
He needs two other surgeries right now. And the guy's out there playing. So I'll give him credit for that. The team's been banged up. They haven't had a run game, because Nick Chubb's in, out. Same thing with Kareem Hunt. And you're right. I don't know what is going on with dads of players on that team. But, you know, you've got Odell Beckham's dad and now
Kareem Hunt's dad, right?
Yeah, like it almost feels like, like it's high school, and like Kevin Stefanski needs to have like a team and family meeting and say, okay, if you have a problem, call me, but we can't be blasting the team out on Facebook, right? Like, we need to rein this thing in. It's just nuts, man. It's just been a crazy season. On paper, the Browns at healthy on paper might be the most talented team in the NFL.
Well, what do you think, and I won't hold you to this, but what do you think Baker's long-term future is in Cleveland? Is he the guy? Do the Browns think he's the guy?
Nah, probably not, to be completely honest with you, because it's so detail dependent. Like Baker is a good quarterback when all the scenarios are lined up.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Like Ryan Tannehill, dude, you could throw this guy with one leg, you know, stuck in the sand, one arm stuck in mud, and like the guy's gonna fight and find a way to win a game. Baker Mayfield doesn't do that, man. So it's just so hard in the NFL. And, you know, with so many quarterbacks now in college that are coming out, then it's just going to be too easy to move on from them. So, yeah, I don't think that he's a long-term answer there.
Russell Wilson, Pete Carroll, the long-term in Seattle. That didn't go well during the offseason. I think they put lipstick on a pig, and now I think that's coming out on the field, quite frankly.
Yeah, I think it is, too. And, you know, I don't think that it's anything to where, like, they hate each other or. It's just one of those things, like we were talking about Brian Kelly and Notre Dame. It just might have run its course. We've got one Super Bowl, probably should have had two. It's just ran its course. And, you know, the thing that I question, you know, with Seattle is what have they been doing constructing this team, specifically the offense? It's so conservative, right? And they invested completely in running backs. All the running backs are injured. Like, I just don't know where this team is. And you know what? Like, I think it's one of those to where before this thing gets way out of hand, let's just kind of blow this thing up. Russ, if you want to go somewhere else, we love you. You're going to be retired here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's not hate each other on the way out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Same thing with Pete Carroll. And it's almost near that time, which is crazy to say. But they've been winning for a long time, and it might have just ran its course.
Got to get a Giants question in before we get you out of here, AB. You know, reports are starting to come out that they're going to move on from Gettleman as GM, which, you know, is pretty much a fait accompli, I think, at this point. Do you think John Mara, Steve Tisch would have the you-know-what to go outside the Giant family to bring somebody in? Because I think that's what they need to do. Do what you want with Daniel Jones. I personally don't think he's the guy, but if you want to give him another year, hey, why not? But I just fear that Mara's going to want to stay within the Giant family. And over the last decade, since their last Super Bowl, it's pretty obvious to you and me and everybody listening that it hasn't worked.
No, it hasn't worked. And, you know, nobody is good enough to just stay in the family and keep doing that. There's no program in the NFL, in college. Like, you have to go out and you have to go find you know, winners. So I'm with you on that. Gettleman, yeah, it's time to go. Like, he's been talking about wanting to build the offensive line, you know, for 4 years now.
He failed miserably doing that. Yeah,
we haven't done that, right? Like, you know, it's one thing John Robinson here when people yell that he takes too many offensive linemen, but that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't done any of that. So, yeah, I'm with you. And Daniel Jones, yeah, I agree. Like, I don't hate the kid. I think we feel the exact same way. Like, I'm not super negative because I can understand the lack, you know, the deficiencies that he's trying to get through.
Mm-hmm.
But he's probably not the guy either. There needs to be some change, you know, in New York. But if you get the right guy, it's not that bad. Like, they can make quick, you know, they can elevate themselves very, very quickly. They just have to go find the right guy.
What'd you say, fait accompli?
Fait accompli.
For us from Kentucky, that's done deal.
Right, right.
Okay.
Right. One word answer to A.B. Judge back next year as head coach?
Yes.
Well, that's a done deal.
That's a fait accompli.
Alan, thank you, buddy.
AB, always great to talk to you, brother.
I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
All right, be well.
At Alan Bell, 24/7. Follow him on Twitter. Hey, we're watching.